Google as a thing in real three-dimensional space as opposed to a digital projection. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We're watching today for more details from Google on a pair of Google phones, the Pixel and the Pixel XL, Pixel spelled P-I-X-L. Google makes Android, the Apple iOS alternative that runs on many phones and has made hardware in the past, but more for the enthusiast crowd. Now, in contrast, says Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood,
all indications are that the Pixel is meant at a much bigger audience. In fact, so big that Google aired 30-second commercials during Monday Night Football and Big Bang Theory. These are shows that reach tens of millions of people. So you can see that Google is attempting something a little bit different.
You see, the other big tech firms have their things, not just bits, bytes, or images of things.
Google has probably looked at the success that a company like Amazon has had with its device division selling Kindles and the sort of surprise hit Amazon Echo, the Fire TV. Now, Google has products like this, but it hasn't put the full force of the brand behind them. So this is the event that could signal that they're very serious about making hardware that complements their ecosystem.
The smartphone environment, where Google's email is front and center, Google Shopping is right at hand, and where Google Search just kind of happens. Now to some of the economic backdrop for the vice presidential debate tonight in Virginia. There is our own personal economy, which may guide voting behavior. Then there is the macro economy. Julie Neiman joins us on Tuesdays from Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis, where she is an analyst.
Well, we have to separate reality from fear. There's huge fear out there that we're sinking back into recession. The reality is, no, we are not. We're plodding along, moving along. If you take a look at the data stack that we had last week, everything was coming up nicely. Not roses, but nicely. Personal income rose 0.2% in August. Manufacturing rose. Why is that good? Because it says that gross domestic product is going up as well. Finally, new orders for durable goods. It was unchanged. Everybody's looking for a decline. Why is that? Well, it's not a negative. It's improvements in technology. Prices are declining. We're more efficient, and things are lasting longer. I think we're on track for about 2.3% growth for the economy overall for this year.
All right, but we're on track for something better, but that doesn't mean it's an illusion that many people in this economy still feel like their standards of living are not increasing the way they'd like.
And that's what happened with this blow-up of the economy in 2008 and 9. People lost a lot of good middle-class income jobs that have never been replaced and are being replaced by technology. It's going to be a long time before people get back to the kind of jobs that they used to have in the past. The good news, though, is incomes are beginning to rise. At least we're still growing.
Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company, thank you.
You bet.
Washington, D.C. becomes thick with global bankers, central bankers, and finance ministers this week as the Group of 20 gathers and the International Monetary Fund and World Bank meet for their annual meetings. The IMF will punctuate the week with the release of its latest world economic outlook. This is a forecast full of deflation, migration, and debt. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
The discussions are expected to center around how to accelerate global growth. Brett House worked at the IMF for 9 years. He's now chief economist at AllianVest Capital. He says the IMF has been touting a three-pronged solution.
We need to complement the really accommodative monetary policy that you're seeing from central banks with more fiscal stimulus and structural changes.
Basically, spend more. Meg Lunsager was on the IMF board from 2007 to 2014. She says countries are reluctant to increase their debt burden right now, given the economic and political uncertainty. And American spending isn't going to prop up growth this time around.
The United States grew, the United States sucked in imports, and that generated growth around the world. That just isn't enough anymore.
Lunsager says she expects the IMF to provide a laundry list of recommendations this week, like more infrastructure spending and a focus on education. But major policy changes given all this uncertainty is unlikely. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace. We'll be right back.
since the financial crisis, there's been something of a global gold rush. Investors snapped up the precious metal, but a new study from an outfit called the Official Monetary and Financial Institutions Forum, there is one, has revealed a surprising fact. Central banks, known for their paper or electronic balance sheets, bought 2,800 tons of real gold since the financial collapse. From London Marketplace's Stephen Beard has the significance.
They've nailed interest rates to the floor and printed vast amounts of money. But behind the scenes, says David Marsh of the OMFIF think tank, the central banks have been doing something else as well, quietly adding to their stocks of gold.
Central banks collectively seem to have decided that gold is a good thing to hang on to. It's a psychological prop, which central banks these days seem to think is quite useful to have.
The Chinese and the Russians have done most of the buying. The Western central banks have simply halted their sales. Adrian Ash of Bullion Vault, an internet gold and silver exchange, is not surprised.
Gold doesn't go bust on you. You can't destroy it any more than you can inflate its supply. And it's that permanence which really appeals in moments of change.
Although, he concedes, a buoyant gold market is not a good sign for the rest of us.
Gold tends to do well when other assets do badly. But it does best when people lose confidence in central bankers.
So what does it say when the central bankers are themselves major purchasers of the stuff? Joshua Saw runs another bullion investment firm, the Pure Gold Company.
It's ironic. It's confusing. It's conflicting. They're printing paper. They're devaluing currency. On the other hand, they're purchasing physical gold to maintain their currency's purchasing power.
Their renewed appetite for bullion exposes the central banker's dirty little secrets, as David Marsh of the OMFIF.
If central banks really had confidence in themselves, i.e. in paper money, they would get rid of all the gold in their vault, sell it all off at high prices.
But instead, he says,
they're clinging on to this rather primitive relic as something to hold on to if things really go down the drain.
However, he points out, the gold bars that gleam reassuringly in the central banker's vaults are little better than a security blanket. They would cover only a tiny fraction of the paper liabilities now floating around the globe. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in Japan, Amazon was offering an all-you-can-eat deal for its Kindle electronic reader, a flat-fee subscription. Read what you want for the yen equivalent of about 10 bucks a month, like Netflix, but for words. Well, this week, Amazon started pulling 1,500 titles out of this flat-fee system. Apparently, too many readers loved this, and Amazon's royalty bill started soaring. According to the Wall Street Journal, Amazon has to pay royalties when people read 10% or more of, say, a magazine, and people were hitting that 10% threshold, a lot more than budgeted. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.